Ephesians chapter 6, so the Apostle Paul writes in verses 18 through 20, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests," right? "With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me," Paul says, "that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains in Rome," as he's saying this. "Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So he's asking for prayers, right? Great verse. You should memorize Isaiah 55, wonderful verse. 8 and 9. God says, "For my ways are not, or my thoughts are not your thoughts." Is that a good thing or a bad thing? God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. And neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours." My thoughts are higher than yours. That's a hard lesson to learn, actually. Okay, so here it is. In John chapter 11, 5 through 7, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let's go back to Judea.'" Father, we pray, Lord, I ask, Lord, for us this morning, Lord, that you would just send your Spirit upon us. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to understand the higher ways of God, and the thoughts that you have are just beyond ours. Lord, and this is such a stretch for us at times in our journey of life. I ask, God, that you would just be with us today. And Jesus, I pray that you would teach us today as you taught your disciples so long ago in Jericho and in Bethany as you were heading to Jerusalem. So Jesus, the rabbi, teach us, I ask. Lord, we don't need to hear me this morning, but we all need to hear you. So, Lord, our ears are open. Our eyes are open. We are ready to see what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. All right, amen. So, okay, when was the last time you prayed a prayer to God and it really made sense to you that God would answer this prayer and he didn't do it? Can you remember the last time you prayed a prayer to God and he wouldn't answer with a yes? Has this ever happened to you? Raise your hand. It's happened to all of us. Hard, isn't it? Hard, isn't it? See, here's the beauty. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you would be able to stand on the evil day." There's been a lot of evil days, and probably a lot more of them are coming, my brother and my sister. Be strong in Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us to put on the armor of God, which involves truth and righteousness and salvation and peace, the faith, to grab the Word of God and to proclaim the Word of God in your life. And when the armor is all put on, Paul says, "Now pray." And people, prayer is a real interesting thing. Prayer is kind of tricky. It's very easy to do. It's pretty simple. Prayer is just communicating with God. It's talking to God. There's a simplicity to prayer, but then there's also this complexity that goes with it. Does God always answer your prayer? Yes. He does. He answers yes. Yay! He answers no. Boo! And then he answers, "Just wait. Just wait. You know, hang in there." The one that we struggle with the most is when God says no. And when God says no, it's the ultimate test of our faith. Do I hear an amen? So whenever I think about no answers, I think about John chapter 11. Now, John chapter 11 is a great verse or great chapter for us as we leave Ephesians chapter 6 and we head off now into next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then we've got Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. So as Passion Week's coming, we're going to wave goodbye to Ephesians 6 as it tells us to pray. And as we're heading now into Passion Week, there's this chapter 11 in the Gospel of John. It's a great bridge. A great bridge. In this chapter, we read about a family that lived in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. And this family is actually close personal friends of Jesus. They've eaten with Jesus. They've hung out with Jesus. Whenever Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, he always hangs out at their house. Can you imagine if Jesus was coming over to your house and he was staying the night? Could you imagine how cool that would be? This is who Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, this is who they are. They are close personal friends of Jesus, and they're a part of the Jesus team. They totally believe in Jesus. They totally love Jesus. They've seen Jesus do all kinds of cool stuff. And as Jesus was just in Jerusalem recently, he had healed a blind man down at the pools of Siloam, and he caused a huge ruckus in Jerusalem, and that's John chapter 9. And Jesus was staying at their, and then he says, we're leaving, and Jesus is now down about 23 miles away, down by the Jordan River, down toward Jericho. And all of a sudden, their brother Lazarus gets really sick. Deathly sick. And so what they do is they send word to Jesus. And say, Jesus, you need to come up here because the one whom you love is sick. It's kind of cool when you read it. This message comes and it's from Martha and Mary saying, hey, Lazarus is sick, and the one whom you love. I love how they put that in. Have you ever put that in your prayer? Like, you know, you should really do what we're about to ask you because this is something you really like this guy, right? And so they send out this prayer. And I'm sure they're thinking it's all going to be fine because everything's going to be okay. Because we're a part of Team Jesus. We're close friends with Jesus. He loves our brother. Our brother's sick. We're going to send a message to him. And all's going to be well, right? And then it gets tricky. So in John chapter 11, it says this. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he went to him immediately. No. He stayed where he was two more days on purpose. Jesus purposely stays two more days, and people, he purposely let his friend die. So much for friendship, right? There are bigger things at play, bigger things going on. Chapter 11 is an awesome chapter. Please really study it this week. Read it. Jesus will speak into your heart. This is a really awesome chapter. So as Jesus is doing this down in the Jericho area, he says something really interesting. So it says he stayed where he was two more days, and then he said to his disciples, let's go back up to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you want to go back? That was Jesus healing the blind man. He really made the religious leaders mad. So Jesus answered, okay, what does this mean? Are there not 12 hours in daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Does that make sense? His disciples replied, Lord, they all got a weird look on their face. If Lazarus is asleep, he'll get better, right? He'll wake up. But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he tells them plainly, and I have to be, Jesus, just speak plainly to me. No more riddles, right? Do I hear an amen? So then Jesus speaks plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And then Thomas, who's known as the twin or Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. The optimist in the group, right? Good old Thomas. You guys remember Thomas. We'll read more about him, won't we? Isn't Thomas wonderful? Thomas, the one that says, I won't believe he rose from the dead unless I touch his. I mean, everybody needs a Thomas in your, just doubting Thomas. Thomas is like Eeyore and, you know, he's not Tigger. He's just, that's who he is. Well, okay, we'll just go up there and die with him, right? But see what's going on. Jesus purposely stayed, purposely let Lazarus die. People walking in light is walking in the will of God. Walking in the light of the day is walking in God's will for your life. Okay? That's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. God's will is being played out here. This is a great chapter. So I want you to notice something and just take notes with me today, because Jesus is going to teach us quite a bit in this chapter, and so will Martha. Jesus teaches us this, and take notes with me this morning. Jesus teaches us in John 11 that death is not permanent. Death is not permanent. Isn't that awesome? Sleep is not permanent. Did you sleep last night? Raise your hand. Did you wake up this morning? Not permanent. Think of this. Every person that you know who's died, grandmas, grandpas, it's not permanent. Your best friend, Jesus says, it's not permanent. It's just a state. That's amazing. That's awesome. John 11's great, okay? So take notes on that. So there's Jesus down there. He's teaching his disciples. He's trying to teach them about the will of God. He's telling them, hey, man, Lazarus has fallen asleep. Well, he's going to wake up. Dude, he died. Okay, let me put it in your... Okay, but I'm glad that... Because you guys are going to see what I'm about to do. But Jesus approaches our death as just temporary. Wow. That's cool. Do I hear an amen? Okay, so then Jesus heads up to Bethany. So now they take the 23-mile hike, Jericho to Jerusalem. Tough road, it's a hike. It's a long trek, actually. Got to be in good shape, but it's cool. So John 11, 17 through 19, it says, on his arrival, so Jesus shows up, Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he took his time, people getting up there. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. So a lot of Jewish people from the city of Jerusalem has come out to the suburbs of Bethany to comfort them, okay? So as Jesus shows up, what's happening? Funeral service is going on, right? And who's late? Who's in trouble? Jesus is. John 11, 20 and 21. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. So she leaves the house and she bolts for him. But Mary stayed at home. Maybe Mary's mad at him. It's like, I don't even want to see him right now. I don't know. But Martha goes, ah, he's coming. Where have you been? Martha, Lord, Martha said to Jesus. This is her first words. If you had have been here, my brother would not have died. Is there anger in her voice? Is there disappointment? kind of like, what are you doing? And FYI, this discussion surrounds the topic. It's called death. This is the one that gets all of us as mere mortals. If there's one thing that we have no power, it's death. If there's one thing that scares humanity, it's death. Billy Graham, I love what he said. He's traveled in 164 countries. I didn't know there was 164 countries. Billy Graham says, I've traveled the world preaching Jesus. He says, everywhere I go, all humanity, whatever language or culture, everybody has a universal sense of shame and guilt. There's a universal sense of emptiness and loneliness. Wherever you go, people are lonely, people are empty, people have a sense of guilt or shame. And everywhere around the globe, people have a universal fear of death. So much so they want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. But Martha does, because she just went through it. And she's really mad at Jesus. This whole chapter is filled with emotion, both for Jesus and the sisters. They are so wounded and so hurt. People, they watch their brother die. Have you ever seen somebody you love die? Because I have, and it's you want to not remember it. It's so painful. And the whole time they're watching their brother breathe his last breath, guess what's on their mind? Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Have you ever been there in your prayers? Where are you, Lord? I cannot believe you're allowing this to happen. What possible reason could you have for not being here and dealing with this? This is what's going on in Martha's mind, in Mary's mind. It's they are just mad, confused. They've made a request of Jesus and he didn't come through. But listen to what Jesus says, because it's so good. Okay, so in John 11, 20 through 26, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, right? Confrontation. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answers, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. What Martha is saying is she's referring to her Sunday school classes growing up. She accepts the traditional Jewish belief in the resurrection of the dead on the last day. But watch what Jesus does is he declares the source of this theological truth of the resurrection. Jesus is about to tell her, okay, you get this truth. He says, he is the source of this truth. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Did you just hear Jesus? He says, in me the dead live and the living does not die. Jesus just said, in me the dead live and the living does not die. Did you all get that? That is a mouthful. Martha says, yes, I believe in this theological truth of the resurrection. And Jesus says to her, I am this theological truth standing right in front of you. I'm this theological truth staring at you. Take notes of me this morning. Here, let Jesus teach you this morning. Here it is. Ready? Note number two. Jesus teaches in John 11 that in him the dead live and the living do not die. Do y'all believe this? That is amazing. That means that every person I know of, like my mom, for example, who died when I was 9, she's not dead. She's alive. Now. Because of Messiah. This is a crazy teaching. Do you believe this? Jesus says to her, right? Do you believe this? And now here is a beautiful set of scriptures. What a journey that we're about to take at a funeral service outside of Bethany. John 11:27-35. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So even in the midst of her grief and her anger and her, she's upset. She says, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. Jesus is speaking to her and she says, I'm still part of Jesus' team. But here's the deal. I don't think Martha had a clue of what she was really saying, or she has no idea what Jesus is about to do. Right? After she had said this in verse 28, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said, and Jesus is asking for you. Okay? When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went out to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb. Maybe she's going to go mourn where her brother, where they just laid him, right? When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and gave the same sermon her brother gave, our sister gave. If you had been here, my brother would have lived. Same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I'm mad. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, here's this whole crowd of people in grief. He was deeply moved. Jesus just gets wrapped up. He gets deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And he just finally says, where have you guys laid him? Come and see, they replied. And here it is. You ready? And then what did Jesus do? Shortest verse in the Bible? He started crying. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus starts crying. Theologians ask why. People are like, why did he cry? Jesus says to weep with those who weep. To care for people and what they're going through. Enter in. Empathy. Right? Jesus just enters into their grief. And FYI, he understands their grief. Jesus feels their sorrow. Here's a really cool truth. When you cry, God enters into your pain and he understands your pain. That's an awesome thought. He's not some distant, he's personal and close. Note number 3. John 11 shows that Jesus understands our pain. He's actually experienced this. When Jesus was little, his stepdad Joseph died between 12 and 30. Jesus went through the pain of seeing Joseph pass away and Mary cry and his brothers and sisters all weeping. Jesus understands there's people in Nazareth that died and the sorrow. He's been to funerals before. He understands grief and he's experienced grief. He just begins crying because he's entering in. And that's so important for all of us to be able to empathize with people and realize this is real. This is here. The tears that Jesus shed were real tears. He really entered in. And that is awesome. He understands our pain. So we've had so much death in our church in the last 5 months. I could just list names of people. Hey guys, So Frank Castrillion, you guys, Frank, 2 years younger than me, he's here for Christmas Eve service. And his daughter Jaleesa calls me on the day after Christmas. He died of a massive heart attack. And it was so wild because I'm looking at the phone and it was Frank. Hey, Frank, I pick it up and it's his daughter. And she's in shock. And she says, Pastor Frank, my dad just died. And I just saw him 2 days ago. He had a heart attack. I'm like, And I could hear in the background, like, they're crying, you know, right? And she's in shock. I'm the first person she calls. And I'm in shock. Yeah, I started like, you can't believe this. And I remember at some point as I was talking with her, I said, put me on speakerphone. And I just started talking to Ruby and all the family and just said, hey, you know, and I started thinking of this. You guys, Jesus is weeping with you right now. Jesus understands your pain. And he sees your tears. And he's grieving with you. He enters in. But I remember saying something like, but you know, as Jesus cries with you, he's giving you hope. You know, Frank, your dad is actually in paradise right now, you know? And you could hear, like, here's grief with truth. Okay, I get it, and I'm so sorry. My gosh, your life has been forever changed, and I'm just entering in. It's like, this is so sad. And yet, Jesus totally cries with you. And yet, he's got your dad, and your dad's having the best day of his life today. Am I wrong? Jesus gets it. He totally gets it. He starts crying with them. He enters into their grief and their sorrow. And yet, he offers hope. This is who Christ is. He understands and he offers hope. And honestly, I believe Jesus was crying at this moment because he's like, Lazarus, I'm really sorry what I'm about to do to you. I'm so sorry, bro. You're my friend. The one whom you love is sick. I really love you, Lazarus, and I'm really sorry what I'm about to do. Because this poor guy had went through the suffering of death. He's now in a great place. He's so, and then what, and Jesus is, and I'm about to bring you back. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry what I'm about to do. Okay, so let's keep reading, right? It just flows. It's a beautiful set of scripture. John 11, 36, cruising into 50, it says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Wow, look, he's crying. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? John 9. So these people have seen Jesus do miracles going, I wonder why he could heal the blind man to see, but why didn't he do anything with this? Wow, is there a limit to his power, right? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he says. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You didn't totally get what I was talking to you, Martha, did you? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And then when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Could you see this poor guy just trying to even pull that off? Coming out. No, he's going in. He's coming out all like in a sleeping bag trying to walk. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And everybody's just saying, no way, right? Everybody's saying, you gotta be kidding me. This is amazing. Okay, this one's amazing. Who is this guy? The crowds in Jerusalem, Mary, Martha, people, if you had been, what would have been your emotions and your feelings? I mean, talk about tears to laughter and praise of God, right? It's a pretty cool text. It's so cool. But verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin down in Jerusalem. And they gathered to give God praise and glory for this miracle. No. This what just happened was the last straw. This miracle, from this moment on, they moved to violence. We've got to kill him. This miracle sets the whole religious elite in Jerusalem says, he's got to go. This is the shot heard round the world. This is the miracle that Jesus has done that just pushes them over the edge. What are we accomplishing, they ask. Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. And then the high priest Caiaphas, the guy who ends up killing Jesus in about a couple weeks, he's the high priest, spoke up, "You know nothing at all. Do you not realize that it is better for you that one man dies for the people than for the whole nation to perish?" People, the miracle that just happens with Lazarus is the miracle that whips up the people for Palm Sunday. Next Sunday, you get Palm Sunday. Why did all of the crowds from Jerusalem come out screaming Hosanna? Because they all heard about what he had done. This is what whips up the crowds. And really sets up the final week of Jesus heading to the cross. And this is the miracle that pushes the religious leaders over the edge, because they want to kill Jesus because of this, because they thought if we keep this guy going, there's going to be a Roman rebellion. The Romans are going to be fought again. He's going to start a revolution, and we've got to stop this guy because he's going to rise up an uprising against Rome, and they're going to take away our temple. And guess where they're making money? At the temple. These guys are saying here, Jesus is bad for business. Because our influence as the Sanhedrin, as the high priest, as Sadducees and Pharisees, we're all wrapped up in this whole thing, and we're making pretty good money at the temple. If we let this guy go on like this, the Romans are coming and they're going to take away our temple, and that's our business. Jesus is bad for business. He's got to go. This is their thinking. And they're right and they're wrong. Jesus isn't coming to take out Rome. Jesus came to take out the bigger enemy than the Roman Empire. Jesus came to wipe out the power of death in our lives. The power of death. The everlasting life. Jesus came to deal with the penalty of sin that brings death into our life. Jesus is coming to defeat the greatest enemy that you have. And your greatest enemy is your mortality and your death. Jesus comes to take away the power of death and to bring life. Because of Christ, you all will live in Christ. He's the resurrection and the life. All you that believe in him, even if you die, yet shall you live. And you that are alive, you're never going to die. Jesus is dealing with issues so much bigger than you can understand. This is what he's dealing with. And they're all worried about their money. They're right and they're wrong. He's not coming to take out the Romans, but he is coming to call them to the table. And on Monday, he flips over the table in the temple and says, "It's been written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've all made it a den of robbers." Guess who the you all are? Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin. You guys are thieves, and you've taken what's supposed to be sacred and made it secular. You've taken this place of worship to God and turned it into a business, and you're lining your pockets. And then he lets them have it on the next day and calls them hypocrites publicly. So they're right and wrong. He is bad for their business. But he isn't coming to take out the Romans. He is taking out their status. It's all true and not true. And everything that just happens with this incredible, a sign. So this was a sign. Do you know what signs are supposed to do? They're supposed to communicate to you. This is a sign from God. What is the sign of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? What is God trying to communicate to you? It's a sign. Signs are designed to communicate. He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Believe in him. Remember, Jesus says, I'm really glad that I wasn't there because I'm going to raise him. And you disciples are going to believe in me when you see what I'm about to do. And this thing totally whips up the crowd. Okay, so next Sunday, Palm Sunday, right? John chapter 12. So we'll leave John chapter 11. Just cruise a little bit in John 12, right? The next day, the great crowds that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So now it's Passion Week. That's next Sunday. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it's written, prophecy, Zechariah, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey, a colt. And at first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize, right, the magnitude of what's happening. Verse 17 says, Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb. There's a crowd that was with Lazarus, with Jesus, and saw the miracle of Lazarus. They continued to spread the word. All these people went back to Jerusalem saying, this guy raises the dead. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. And the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world's going after him. We've got to kill this guy. John 11 is just loaded, my brothers and my sisters. There's so much in this chapter. There's so much for Jesus to teach us. And that's the main teaching, okay? There it is. But there's a little side teaching. If you look real close, Martha will teach you today. Martha can teach you today. Martha is the perfect example of a lover of Jesus who gets really mad when the Lord doesn't answer her request with a yes. Her request was, Jesus, get up here and heal my brother. He's your friend. This should be easy. And he says no. Her brother dies. Look how she handles it. She's angry. She's frustrated. She still believes. Even when Jesus says no. People, when God says no to our prayers, he has a higher reason. His ways are higher than ours. God sees a bigger picture. See, Lazarus being raised from the dead was the miracle that set up Passion Week. Has anyone seen the Passion of the Christ, by the way? We're going to be showing the Passion of the Christ here after Good Friday service. Our college career group have never seen the movie The Passion. They're like, Pastor Frank, we want to see this. So we're going to have a Good Friday service here from 5 to 6:30, and we're going to be in Building B. We're going to show the Passion of the Christ and then have a discussion afterwards. You're invited. The thing that launches all of this was this miracle. And poor Martha doesn't get that. She doesn't get it. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Is that a good thing? Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the bottom line. And here's a great picture. I love this picture. Here's the teaching truth. That's God's ways. And there's planet Earth with some beautiful mountains. See, our prayers, we only can pray so much, we see mountains. Do you know how much higher the galaxies are than the mountains? Do you understand? And we should pray. See, there it is. Totally pray. Seek, ask, knock. But you have to, at some point, when God says no, realize He's probably doing something you're not going to completely get. And when that happens, not if, but when, you have to trust Him. And this is the most difficult part. This is where Martha ministers to me so much. See, Pastor Frank prays a lot of time. See, I really think if Jesus would listen to me, I think we could straighten out earth real quick. I think we could make this happen, Lord. And He just doesn't listen to me. I pray for people. And they still have a miscarriage. I pray for people. And their sickness doesn't go away. Keep that picture up. You pray for God to do something. And when He says no, what do you do? See, Martha, it made complete sense to her. Jesus, there's absolutely no reason why you will not answer this prayer. And I've sent word to you. This thing makes complete sense to me. We're on Team Jesus. We're your friends. And the one whom you love is sick. And I've seen you do this before, and you could do it again. And you need to get up here. Word's been sent. Nothing. What is He doing? What are you thinking? He's getting worse. Lord, His breath is getting short. Where is He? This is ridiculous. Why isn't He here? He died. Doggone it. I don't get Him. What are you thinking? Still, you're going to throw out your faith? I'm done. That's it. If this is how He treats people, I'm off Team Jesus. Option, yes? Many Christians walk away. Many do. And when I talk with them and they look at me, I don't believe anymore. And they tell me why. Because they prayed for that mountain and He didn't do it. Martha is somebody that should be teaching all of us this morning. Because even when all this happens and He shows up, and boy, does she let Him have it. I've had people say, Pastor Frank, when I get to heaven, I'm going to let the Lord have it. Go get him, tiger. But they're angry at Him. They're angry at Him. Because they don't get it. Where are you? Martha, she let Jesus have it, people. And then Mary came and gave the same message. You really blew this one. And Jesus says, I need to teach you something. There's life beyond the grave. You'll see your brother again. I know. But I can't believe I am the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. I am this theological truth staring at you right now. Do you believe me? Before the miracle, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God. There's the faith. Is that you? Even when I don't get it, I still believe. There's the faith. Did I give you note four? Note four is John 11 teaches us that when God says no to our prayers, He has a higher plan and purpose. Put that one down. Here's note number five. In John 11, all the teaching is Jesus. But here's the one we're talking about prayer. Here's the one for Martha. In John 11, Martha teaches us to still trust and believe in Jesus when He doesn't do what we ask. There's the lesson. There's the lesson. Lord, I need a job. I want that one. Nope. Lord, I want a boyfriend. I want that one. Nope. And then you later on say, praise God, right? How many times do we pray? His ways are higher. And this is the ultimate step of faith. Jesus, I need to be healed. Can you please heal me? And you're not. And when the Lord says no, that we entered into it, we have to just believe He's got a higher plan and purpose. And in, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord and He'll make your path straight. In time, it'll all come and play out, people. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. It'll come out in time. But you gotta trust Him to this. And this is, it gets difficult. I was 9 years old and I was praying for God to heal my mom who had pancreatic cancer. I'm 9. And she died. When I was 18, 19, 20, as an atheist who hated God and hated people who even believed in Him, seeing you as stupid and ignorant and unscientific and backward. And then my own journey of coming, is there a God? Is there a designer? Does intelligence evolve from non-intelligence? Or that's impossible. Does life come out of non-life? That doesn't work. I mean, just in Christians in my life, pretty soon I'm reading Jesus, and I'm starting to like Jesus, coming to the propheticness of Scripture and saying, this guy is pretty incredible. There is evidence that this guy is the Messiah. He's the prophesied one. Wow, this is it. But I had to deal with all this. And in my journey, I had to one point in my life say, you know what, Lord? I just got to trust You with the death of my mom. And trust that someday, where's my picture? Where's my picture? There it is. Someday, the stars will be revealed. That His ways are higher than mine. His path, His plan, His purpose, it's all faith. In order for me to really embrace Christ, I had to learn from Mary and Martha and just say, I just trust You, God. I just got to believe that You've got this thing covered and You're seeing angles that I don't see. And I know that You are the resurrection and the life. I know that my mom is in heaven. I know that the Lord delights in the death of His saints. You ever read that verse? Did you know the Lord actually delights in the death of His saints? Because He's so jealous for you and loves you. He loves it when we go home. His whole perspective of this whole thing's different. Sometimes people say, I think that He's leaving me down here longer because I haven't quite got ready yet. And He's taking out those that are ready to go home now, you know? Maybe we got to cook more in the oven. The Lord only takes the good ones, Pastor Frank. Well, maybe there's a reason why He's not taking us yet. There is. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand firm in the evil day. Put on truth. Put on righteousness. Walk in the peace of the Prince of Peace. Grab your helmet of salvation. And faith, the shield of faith. Grab the Word of God and proclaim it and go to war. For the battle you fight is not against flesh and blood, against the powers and the principalities of darkness in the heavenly places. So you go to war and you pray all the time. Be alert in your prayers. Pray for the saints. Pray for the will of God. Pray for God's higher plans and purposes in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Realize that his ways are higher than yours. He's not always going to answer you because he's got something better for you. And there's the faith. Welcome to John chapter 11. Next week's Palm Sunday. And then we enter in Passion Week, the Passion of Messiah. Good Friday in a few weeks. Resurrection Sunday in 2 weeks. He comes up out of the grave. He's defeated death. He's washed away our sins. He's purchased our place in heaven, right? I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, I'll come and bring you to myself. You'll be with me forever. People, Jesus has got this. You know what the Lord really wants from you? Just trust in him today. Can you do that? Even if your politician doesn't get elected this year, would you trust him anyway? Even if your taxes go up, trust him anyway? You pray for wars and rumors of wars to stop and they keep going. Can you just trust him anyway? You see what's happening in the world and say, this place is a mess, just like he said it would be. Just trust him anyway. Things happen in your life. Okay, Lord, teach me, mold me, shape me. Hey, I'm going to ask you to do this and this and this, but I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. There's Martha. I'm not leaving you. In time, my brother, my sister, all that you're struggling with will be made clear. In time, 75 years from now, it's all going to make sense to you. But between now and then, just trust him. His ways are higher than yours. His thoughts are higher than yours. His plans higher than yours. And if you have to be mad at him for something, then go ahead and be mad at him. But don't leave him. If you're frustrated with him, then go ahead and be frustrated with him. He can handle it. But he's going to look you in the eye and say, do you believe? Will you still trust me in this? There's where our faith is found. He's the way maker, the miracle worker. He's a light in the darkness. That's who he is. Father, I pray for my brother and I pray for my sister today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for all of our journeys, all of our journeys. God, all of us in our own autobiographies have many times where we're just frustrated with you when you didn't answer prayers that we thought you should have. There are many of your people that are like Martha standing outside of Bethany. And Lord, we just commit that to you. And I pray for any brother or sister in here that, Lord, you would just teach them in those moments. And God, help them to just learn to keep holding tight to you in these days. God, I pray that you would just calm our hearts and clear our minds, that you would give us peace that surpasses all understanding, that would guard our hearts and guard our minds in Messiah. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us today. I ask, Lord, that you would move in this place, that Jesus, you would heal bodies and break chains, that you would set people free. Jesus, do your work in our lives. We trust you with all our hearts. Speak, Lord, I ask. Speak, Lord, to the brokenhearted, to the frustrated, to those that are grieving. Speak, Lord, into your people. Teach us, Jesus. This we pray in your name. Amen.